-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to -3, presented as ever by our pals over at Omaha. We have a lot to get to here in early April. The NFL draft is going to be upon us before you know it. So are the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Speaking of which, big game on Thursday night in our nation's capital with two longtime 21st century puck rivals, Ovechkin, Crosby, and their teammates going head-to-head. We're talking about that one off the show, online. Follow me on social media if you're interested in that sort of stuff. In the meantime, we have the great Chris Long, digital Wall of Famer, coming up in just a few minutes to talk some NFL draft, some pro football, and in all likelihood, the game of life. Nobody better at doing that. He's a Hall of Famer at that game. Who knows? Maybe one day pro football will honor him with a gold jacket for drawing the essential penalty on Jake Matthews. I know everybody talks about the big comeback by Brady and the great catch by Edelman against Matt Ryan and the Falcons in that Super Bowl. But of course, Chris Long drew the holding call that pushed back the Falcons out of field goal range. And you know what happened from there? Either way, looking forward to talking to our pal Long in just a few. In the meantime, Eddie Spaghetti, what's going on in your world? Big fight, old school hockey fight with your Rags and the Hated Devils on Wednesday night. That was fun stuff. All like I'm full on lines, just dropping the gloves 2 seconds into the game.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be fun for the players. It kind of fired them up. I know Keandre Miller, who's not really a fighter, posted a picture about it, and a couple of the guys got into the scraps that don't normally fight. I personally, it was fun for me for about 10 seconds. Then I was like, this sucks. It should have just been Rempe, because now you're playing a team that you should handily beat. They did win the game, the Rangers. They have swept the season series versus the Devils, which they needed to do because they, you know, blew a game to the lowly Penguins, which they should have swept them as well.
I had
to just put that dagger in there, but I thought it was really dumb of them to do that, because obviously, you know, you do get ejected if you fight after the initial fight takes place. So now you're playing a game shorthanded. You're playing with 9 forwards. You're playing with 4 defensemen. Your entire team, if they blew that game, they did not come from behind. You give up those 2 points, which you should have easily had. I would have not been happy about that. But I guess now that it's over, they did win the game. It was fun. I mean, it takes.
Well, I mean, the big concern is, what if Keandre Miller breaks his hand when he's throwing one of them around?
I'm pro, like, once you clinch, I'm pro. Like, obviously, I want them to win the Metro to have the top seed. I think that does help them. If they have to play the Flyers, I think I would take that matchup. But yeah, I mean, not to sound like a curmudgeon, but I guess it does take a Matt Rempe fight for the other networks to cover the NHL, and it was front page and it was a top story in a lot of programs. So I guess people did enjoy it.
All right. And bad news for your Knickerbockers. Julius Randle officially shut down for the rest of the season. Knee surgery. That's bad, because Martin Weiss and others have joined us here and said the one team in the East that might be able to take down the Celts, Bucks, and Embiid with the Sixers, and otherwise, the one team people keep talking about is the Knickerbockers at full strength, and obviously you're not going to be that now.
It's very bad, because, and we'll see this come out in the next couple of days in the New York media, but when he initially injured his shoulder, people back then said if he got his surgery done then, he would have been able to come back, not maybe right this minute, but maybe at some point during the playoffs. So I think him delaying it, I don't know who his camp was. I don't know what doctors said to do what. I think they just tried the whole non-surgery route to rehab it, and it just didn't work. And now we have to get the surgery. But I just feel like if you're an athlete and advancements have gone so far in this field, in the medical field, if you can get the surgery and you're like, hey, you are back in 6 to 8 weeks, you will make the playoffs, just get it done. There's going to be no concerns.
Miscalculation. Yeah, probably. All right. You know what? We'll pick up on basketball college style. That's upcoming this weekend. We'll give you our picks for that. But first, here he comes, everybody. Chris Long. Let me squeeze in a quick break here. Let me ask you a question, Eddie Spaghetti. Why should you bet with Caesar Sportsbook? But before you answer, Two words, Caesars Rewards. Those are the two words. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. I'm talking about hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, even more than just that. It's not only an app, it's an empire. 21 plus must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, here he is, everybody. Who better to talk to about really any subject under the sun? He's one of our very favorites. It's why his jersey hangs for all of time in the digital wall of fame. He's the host, the creator, the ongoing gem of the Green Light Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking that out. He's our guy, Chris Long. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
Dave, what's the word, man? How are you? It's been too long.
Yes.
Talking hockey offline before we got on. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of NFL news, though, man. It's that time of year where crazy happens, buddy.
First of all, let me just say to you, and I'm not trying to fillet you, you're already on the show, so it seems unnecessary at best here. But man, oh man, are you guys on a roll over there? The shows are gangbusters. The quality of the conversation is really high level stuff, legitimately. But also, I mean, is it just because Chris Long is a handsome devil? So whatever you ask for, people will just accept to be in your company.
You're talking about the guests. The guests have been great, man.
Have been remarkable.
We got a good staff here, man. Like a good group of dudes, good producers, and a lot of them I grew up with. And so, you know, we've been kind of figuring this business out. But one of the best things that one of my dudes, Matt, does behind the camera is he's just on these athletic departments, working through the right channels to try to get a guest from this team, that team. And I think what eventually happens is hopefully you get legitimized because somebody sees this person went on and then, you know, and so on and so forth. And we've had some big breaks with guests, you know? So like once you get a big fish or two, it just makes it easier to get the next one. So we've been having fun, man. This football season was a grind. It's amazing the washing machine that we go into every year for a few months, and it's almost like more draining than playing in some ways, like mentally. So I think every year I'm learning new stuff about the business and just like how you want to design your schedule and what works, what doesn't. You get smarter as you get older, and the only way to go through it is to screw it up for 4 or 5 years. And I think we're in a groove now.
Man, I mean, I don't have to tell you about how to get yourself into shape, but like getting into shape. If you want big biceps or otherwise, you got to lift dumbbells all the time. And, you know, talking into a microphone is like that. But also, I could lift all the weights in the world. I would never wind up in pro football. but when I met you, however long ago, 8 years or so ago, you were one of those guys. It was like, oh, if that guy wants to do this, he can rule over it for as long as he wants to. Being a talker. And I'm not just talking about football. I'm not even just talking about sports. So, all right. Enough fellation already. Can we talk about football already?
I didn't even know that was a word. And you just keep doing it to me.
Okay. Well, listen, cut that crap out and let's talk about football. And we'll come back around and see if there's time for anything else here. Because you do deserve it. I mean, listen.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
Listen, NC State getting in, they deserved it because they won the conference tournament. Your bums, your UVA bums who had no business being there kept my Pitt Panthers out, and now we'll never get that chance
again.
You
think you could have been NC State? Maybe I saved you.
We beat them twice. What do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of teams beat those guys. You know, the thing about NC State is they were really close to being in the middle of the pack in that conference. You know, like everybody looked at it. They were eighth, ninth, whatever it was, but they're only a couple games from being in the thick of it. So I do feel bad about us taking your spot. We did not show out, and probably you could argue that we shouldn't have been there. Ken Pom didn't think we should be there. Macon, my co-host, who's like the Ken Pom addict, he's always using Ken Pom to argue our position. This year, he was like, "Oh, they don't know what they're talking about." So, and they did.
Well, give Macon a kick for me because I don't like it any better. It was senseless at the time. I said it and I have been proven correct.
But let me say this. I do think, Dave, that part of the disdain for Virginia's style of play, like if this were another team, that there's teams every year that weren't supposed to be in it. I mean, people hate their style of play, which I get it. But, you know, we got a ship, so we're good.
But if it's right, but if you're the committee and you're choosing it, and obviously your network partner wants the most compelling stuff possible, if it is at all a narrow choice, then choose the more entertaining team.
Yeah, they don't want Gus Johnson on that game.
Or put Blake Hinson, who shoots from 38 feet away and makes it with a fair amount of regularity. That's more entertaining than UVA putting up 41 points over 40 minutes.
No question. I've
had it. Now I'm stuck rooting for a pregnant guy named DJ Burns or whatever's going on.
Jesus. He's just girthy. He's just a house, dude. You know, he's 6'9", 300 pounds. Don't hate on State, bro. Don't hate on State.
No, I fell for him several months ago before the rest of the nation did. But what do you think, you know, in honor of him very quickly now, I have to ask you this question. We were talking the other day, me and Hench. What team, in honor of DJ Burns, what overall team do you think is the least athletic-looking great team in sports history? I came up with the 79 Pittsburgh Pirates with Pop Stargell, Potbelly, plus Omar Moreno, Bruce Kiesen, and Kent Tekulve were a combined 103 pounds. They were like a combined about 28 feet tall if you stacked them one on top, and 103 pounds total. And
it's got to be basketball to me because if there's two starters with bad bodies, you know, like I don't know, average regular looking guys on the team. It'd have to be
Dennis,
like
how about Dennis Johnson and Larry Bird? Yeah,
for sure. But I would say it's like because back in the day everybody looked kind of normal, you know, like Mahorn and those guys just look like tall.
Oh, that's a good one.
Blue collar guys. You know, did the Pistons look that athletic?
No, they didn't. No, Joe Dumars looked like just an average schnook. Looked like a sixth grade science teacher, social studies teacher.
Isaiah Thomas, smaller, like, you know, kind of really disarmingly normal looking, but he was a killer. And then, you know, they got their tall white guys again that look like big electricians. So, I think the Pistons were the first team that jumped.
Okay, good call. Good one to add to the conversation there. Okay, now this conversation about, I don't remember exactly where it was, but late stages of the NFL's regular season, the Eagles lose at home and they get hammered by the Niners. Nick Bosa in the post game says, "Well, we just gave everybody the blueprint of how you stop Jalen Hurts." And the Eagles, and coincidentally or not, the Eagles did nothing the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Get into this here, because we've talked about this, you and me, before, and I talked to a lot of football guys about the thing of like, boy, you can really feel like, oh, we found our guy at quarterback, until defensive coordinators take a long look at the tape. And then they're like, oh, these are his tendencies. Let's take those away. Then the quarterback must adjust to those adjustments. And if he can't do that, then he's just a guy versus being somebody special. Where are we in Jalen Hurts? Has he been solved, or do you expect him to make adjustments to whatever Nick Bosa was referencing, a couple few months ago?
So I think first off, I think there's like various classes of quarterbacks in the NFL. Like there's Mahomes, that's one class. And then there's, you know, Allen, Burrow, Jackson. I'm putting CJ in that class. I'm putting Matt Stafford in that class. And I think that then there's guys like Jalen who are right outside that group, that have shown, like, Jalen has had an MVP caliber season, and he was dropping the ball away from, you know, beating Patrick Mahomes in a shootout, you know, no less. Mm-hmm. So once I've seen the ceiling, you're at least in that group that's knocking on the door, right? If you can give me that consistently, then you can be in that at the real big boy table, right, with Joe Burrow and those guys. And that's what I think you want to see out of Jalen. And I think Jalen, when you're in that group from a talent standpoint and just from like a standpoint of being a quarterback, you are less immune to a change in context around you, whether that's personnel or the plays that are called, the passing concepts, a whole host of things that got flipped on their head, honestly, when Shane left. And I think it really hurt to watch the Eagles' lack of creativity last year, and, you know, to see that they kind of wasted that last year of Lane, Jason, Mailata, all that group. We obviously Kelsey being the big one that leaves, and a great year from AJ, you know, Dallas Goedert injuries, the whole thing. Devontae, that's a really great group. It should not have looked like that group last year. And I think a lot of it had to do with the way they were calling the game. I think it was like a poor imitation of Shane's scheme. And there was a lack of creativity in the passing game. And I think the commitment to the run game was piss poor. And I think some things got exposed with Jalen, like they would for so many quarterbacks if they were running that system. You know, I do think the truth is somewhere in between with these quarterbacks. And I think Nick Bosa saying that, what he might mean to say, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he might think we got him figured out, when really they just figured out that, you know, they have some really obvious tendencies that you can bank on, or that we are just a nightmare matchup for these guys with the speed in the middle of the field that we have, with the rushers we have, with the way we can change the picture. It could be something as simple as, hey, if we take away his rollout to the right, to his ball hand side, we really do put the pressure on him in a different way. Like that.
I mean, I felt like that was, I thought he was being specific to that extent. Like, it's
I think part of it is make him
stay in the pocket. Roll right.
And I think if he's being specific there, that's not rocket science. Like, you know, we used to talk about a number of quarterbacks that way. You know, and really good ones too. You know, you don't want Patrick Mahomes escaping to his damn right. There's a bunch of other ways he can beat you. And I think that's what Jalen has to work on. But also, if the scheme is better, he'll look more like the last guy that we saw. I don't think, because when you look at the variability of Jalen, when he came in the league, it wasn't like he was one of these guys that immediately was like lights out. You know, he had doubters, and at times I was one of them. But once he showed me what he showed me in 2022, I was like, all right, this is a franchise quarterback. So the conversations with me of like, do make a change when he has a bad year, I think you have to organizationally take some accountability for putting him in this position. And he has to take accountability and meet that team in the middle, and then we go. And so I think they've got a better setup next year with Kellen Moore. I think also, you know, Jalen was banged up last year, and that's not an excuse, because he played poorly, you know, and the offense functioned poorly regardless of that. But adding Saquon Barkley, which is an uncharacteristic investment in the running back room for Howie Roseman, I think is very intentional when you say, hey, do we want our franchise quarterback to look like a franchise quarterback, or do we want him hobbling around because he's got to carry the ball a certain amount of times a game to impose our will. And I also think it's an admission that maybe the front's not going to be quite as good and you need a dynamic back there. So I think they'll be in better shape next year. And to Nick, like, I don't take issue with that. It's like some homerism. Like, I'd have said the same thing about somebody, but it's not rocket science. You know, I think some of it was just the scheme was very imperfect. And there are some things you pick up with quarterbacks and where they like to be, and you take them away.
I think it's interesting that you talk about that, because it does feel to me like the reason that the Eagles have been relevant for a decade, and, you know, with varying degrees of Super Bowl chances existing, but it's because of the defensive line. I mean, because of the line of scrimmage on both sides, really.
Both sides, but yeah.
And now, you know, like we talk about, Fletcher Cox has now moved along. Brandon Graham, you're now doing podcasts, from what I understand.
I'm long since gone.
Yeah. And you mentioned some, you know, Kelsey and everybody else. So I do think something's changed there. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is valuable when he's on his rookie deal. And I just talked to Mike Tannenbaum last week about that. And it's very extreme when you start talking about the reason why the Bears had to move Fields. It's because he's at that point where he's moving into or close to a second contract, and everything gets thrown out of whack with that. Kenny Pickett gets moved to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that for a second, shall we? What do you think about Kenny Pickett? Is that he just a throw in? Was that, let's move him, let's get rid of him? Or do you think Philadelphia has some use for this guy?
No, I think in today's NFL, if your second QB can play, that's awesome. I think the kid can play. I'm not a Kenny Pickett hater. I'm not a Kenny Pickett, like he's the next, but could he be somebody's starting quarterback again? Yeah, I think so. Could he be the Eagles starting quarterback again? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But I do think when Howie Roseman makes a move like that, he's recognized through looking at recent history, like backup quarterback it's not always going to be a backup quarterback.
But you expect him to be the backup by the time things get going.
Yeah, I do. I don't, right? I'm not going to make like this into a QB controversy thing because
I don't mean it that way, but the talk was he's just going to be a camp arm. He's going to be a third stringer. A lot of vexed Yinzers right now.
Like, listen,
dude, didn't want to compete. Good luck. Go compete with Jalen Hurts. You're going to be the third stringer for the Eagles, dude.
No, to be the backup quarterback in Philly, like that's like being the vice president, you know, like it's a legit situation that's played out over, you know, multiple scenarios where like you could very well be the guy soon. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but Jalen Hurts was banged up last year. So if you're in a tight race for the NFC East and you say, hey, you know, analytically or whatever, we figure that Jalen Hurts might miss a game a year or something, or a game and a half. This is the difference between the playoffs, hosting a home game, you know, the whole thing. So sometimes like it could be a perfectly logical move that's not salacious, but it's still a very important move, and it shouldn't, in my opinion, worry Jalen. It shouldn't be one of these like, and it's also not like he's going to be a camp arm, because I actually think Kenny Pickett, I don't want being careful how I say this. I think Kenny Pickett is an NFL quarterback. I really do. I'm not going to take it to the grave.
I was just going to say that might be the way you phrased it. I don't know what you're debating in your head, but it sounded like damning with faint praise. He is in the NFL because he is an NFL player.
No, what I'm saying is like, I don't want to say there. Like, what do I say after that? Well, Kenny Pickett, you know,
league average. How about that?
Yeah. If a league average quarterback is 16th, well, I don't want to do the median average thing, but like if the 16th best quarterback in the NFL is going to have a starting job at some point. And I think like, honestly, if things were different in Pittsburgh, you know, if he didn't get hurt at the end of the season, who knows? I think they were figuring it out a little bit.
Oh man, I can what if that and have endlessly, and people think I'm somehow denouncing the Steelers for that. But of course, if he doesn't get hurt against the Cardinals, they win that game. He plays against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football. He wins that game. There's none of the
Mason that game.
Rudolph,
I never bet
no Mitchell
the under.
Trubisky business.
I never bet the under that night for huge and like cry myself to sleep. Listen, if he'd have had the last couple games that Mason Rudolph had, which any Steelers fan would tell you, he might have been able to do that if the offense is functioning at a higher level. There's no reason to say he couldn't have. Do you move off him?
Oh, no. I mean, they listen, if he doesn't so it's get not hurt, like the reason he was cross is, and I can get it if you're a competitor, that he's watching, first of all, Mitchell Trubisky replace him and feeling like, oh, man, this team, our goose is cooked with Trubisky in there. He can't win. I would be winning these games. By the way, the misread from the coaching staff that is still in that building, Arthur Smith is in there, obviously, at this point. But still, the majority of the decision makers who said, yeah, Trubisky over Mason Rudolph gives us a better chance of winning, are the same people who are now saying, like, yeah, we're better off with Russ and Fields than we were with Rudolph and Pickett. So you should look at it with a skewed eye, at least. I think
there's
that's
a lot of throwing against the wall and hoping it sticks in the NFL with the quarterback position. So, listen, I think you guys are going to be better. Because I actually believe in Justin. I think Arthur's a really good offensive mind. I think sometimes you go to be a head coach and your head's not where it was when you were doing the thing that got you there. And I think also you look at the quarterback play he had in Atlanta. I'd take Justin Fields over those guys in a heartbeat. So I'm excited to see if it's Justin or if it's Russ. What you guys come up with. I love the Cordero move. I know there's some pieces you still got to.
Am I misunderstanding the kickoff rule? Cordero is like, I mean, that just should be the start. It should be Derrick Henry and Noah Fant and all the biggest dudes who can Saquon run Barkley a little bit return your kicks, right?
Yep. Yeah. It becomes like a play. You know, it becomes like an offensive play. And so you need guys that can diagnose things a little bit quicker. Like I think about a kickoff return guy. He's going to take a full head of steam, build up, and it's one cut and go. You know, like this is more of a punt return than a kickoff return, but it's also kind of like a run play too, which is cool.
By the way, as a reminder to everybody who's cynical about Arthur Smith as an offensive coordinator, it's not that we should obsess over how he did it as a head coach. Look at that. The reason he was a head coach is because of how great an offensive coordinator he was.
Yeah,
keep that in mind. He's back in that job, coordinating. He's not the head coach, not a leader of men, coordinating the offense. That's what he has been and exceptional at doing. So you should be optimistic on that front.
And it wasn't like, and I'm not taking a shot, but just giving you an example of like Hackett got a head job. You know, like now he's in New York. They were going to run Aaron's offense, right? So it's very tied to one player. Like, you know, I think what Arthur Smith did in Tennessee was impressive. And Tannehill, who I have a lot of respect for, he's a warrior. He was a good NFL quarterback. Like, you want to call him league average? I think he was better than league average. I think he was a plus. But he had limitations. And that offense went toe-to-toe with Kansas City more than a couple times and beat them once or twice in high-scoring ball games. And really, like, it was the game they lost in Cincinnati. They were prime for a run, and they lost at home to Cincinnati. And the quarterback didn't play well. You know, like, if you give this guy somebody talented, a blank slate. Hopefully that's what Justin Fields is. And that's what I hope happens. I hope Justin gets a shot.
Burrow's a disruptor who is like, you mentioned, like you start doing tiers of QBs and everything. Mahomes, the 1A is Burrow. I just think we've forgotten about him a little bit because he was hurt all last year, but
Josh Allen about for me.
Nope, not better than Burrow. No. Look at January.
I'm not saying he's better.
I'm saying give me a guy like you want to win the big drafting game in January. I'll take Burrow over Allen.
I know, but the injuries are concerning to me at this point.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair
You know, like point. With Josh, I've just never seen Josh. And the quarterback run game, I just put an emphasis on that as a defensive player. Joe Burrow's a killer. If Joe's healthy and he can operate an offense like and it's set up for him, like, yeah, he reminds me of Brady at times. CJ Stroud's going to have a chance to be 1A soon.
Yeah, that might be true. But in the meantime, it does seem to me that we have like some amnesia here, obsessing over the Bills moving Stephon Diggs, who didn't do much in the second
half
of last season. It was a bad relationship, apparently, with him and Josh Allen. So not really workable going forward. Massive. I mean, now they got to eat that contract, which should be a red flag to the Texans that they were
right. Like here, we'll actually pay more of his deal than you.
Well, that's why that's why I am not fully embracing, even though the Steelers are like, we got Russ, what a leader. It's like, man, two stops, three different coaching situations over 3 years. None of them worked out, but we're supposed to accept it. He is the ultimate pro who's going to teach all the other guys how to comport themselves and all that. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I want to see a guy who can make throws. You know,
it's got to be Fields at some point. Yeah, I agree. Sooner rather than later.
I agree. I don't want to disrespect Burrow, though. I just want to say I love Joe Burrow. I'm kind of a Josh Allen fan. You know, like I watch him play, and I it's one of my favorite things.
Why? Because he told you were in shape at the Super Bowl.
No, this is before that. And no, he did say I look great.
I saw.
I just think the guy's ceiling is incredible. And that's what I'm after when I'm looking at that. And listen, the Burrow thing, he might be 1A for me if it weren't for just the injuries and like the concerns I have there.
Man, Joe Asai doesn't shove 15. He's in two straight Super Bowls, Burrow, and the conversation is very different. Okay.
Totally agree. He's the only guy that's beaten Mahomes, really.
That's right. And you know what? But that's how narrow the difference is between winning it and Tannenbaum and I were talking about the idea, as extreme as it sounds, like if you're the Bills, you never would move on from Josh Allen. If you're the Ravens, you don't move on from Lamar Jackson. But the evidence is there that you're more likely to win a Super Bowl if you just reboot at the quarterback position. And the trick is getting the right guy to replace him. But yeah, your chances diminish by season 6 on down the line.
I just wouldn't replace Josh.
Of course, you never would. You wouldn't do it for a number of reasons. It would seem insane to do it. Yeah. But the math does kind of favor, like, just get that guy back on paying him $2 million a year and flesh out the entire rest of the roster.
Is Burrow immune from that axiom?
No. But what I was going to say, actually, I'm glad you reminded me because I forgot the point I was trying to bring up to you. The amnesia is that, like, well, now the Bills are doomed because what are they going to do without Stephon Diggs? And
they did a lot without him in the second half of the year last year. 34 catches for like 315 yards.
And why did they do that? It's because they now have two stud tight ends. And who is their arch rival who they can't get past in January? It's the Chiefs. And is it a wide receiver that drives that offense? No, it's the tight end that does. So I don't think it's a big deal.
Not just that. You know, like Kansas City just lost Willie Gay. They didn't get better in that area of the field. And also, I think Shakir can do a lot of the things in the short game that, you know, they relied on Diggs for. And I think Samuel was with Joe Brady in 20. So I'm looking at it through rosy colored glasses, and they have a 2 now, which would be a high 2, right? With the Vikings pick that they got from the Texans in 25, they could package either their first in 25 or that second and go up and get somebody, if I understand it correctly. And that's what I would do. I would like, hey, listen, that's something in between burning the ships. It's like, if you can access high caliber, cheap talent, like, I'm going for it. You know, it's about giving Josh just something to work with.
But you also got to get lucky a little bit. That's what the Chiefs did. They drafted, I mean, they did a great job drafting, and they landed on some defensive pieces that ended up being massive difference in January. Huge. And that's what the Bills have to do more than
anything else. I worry about the Bills' defense more than the offense.
Yeah,
I worry about the Bills' defense more than the offense.
Especially on the back end. Okay. One thing I did want to ask you about is, just to go back, because the Eagles are your guys here. And now you have Ken Pickett. So Pickett, Russ Wilson, Justin Fields. Who's going to win from this point to the end of time? Who's going to win more regular season, the most regular season games? And who's going to win the most playoff games going forward, starting right now? Shoot, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, Justin Fields won.
He's going to win the most regular season and playoff games.
Well, I don't see Russ starting for a playoff team again.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, it's hard to imagine, because if it doesn't work out in Pittsburgh.
But a lot of people are picking him to take the Steelers to the playoffs. I'm with you. I think Fields does take over at some point.
Yeah, like the playoff conversation is harder, but I think till the end of time, like, I think Fields' skill set's going to give him some opportunities here. And, you know, like, I think he's going to seize one. I really do. I don't know what that looks like. I think then we'd probably go, I don't know how much longer Russ is going to get opportunities. So that, like, the question becomes, do you think Russ is going to win a bunch of games in Pittsburgh? If he's not, then it might be Pickett. Like, Pickett could win 10, 15 games the rest of his career. Like, is that more than Russ will win as a starter? I don't know.
I got news for everybody who has convinced themselves that Kenny Pickett is a complete bum bust of a pick. Look at Andy Dalton. Yeah. Look around the league. Look at the guys who, if you stick around long enough and you know the playbook, your number is going to come up. And, you know,
he's going to have a job.
I think he's one of those guys that's going to be in the league if he wants to be.
He could be Bridgie, but when you can run a West Coast kind of offense and, you know, you can throw a little bit on the move, seem to be a good guy that gets along with the locker room, like tough kid. I think he's got another shot in him. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that last part is the thing that's in a little bit of question, but you know,
the tough kid thing.
Well, yeah, tough kid and gets along with everybody because it's pretty clear.
You think people didn't like him there? Is that the word in the building?
I don't know if it was performance-based, but the receivers made it pretty clear. We want Mace. We don't want Pickett back. It's pretty crazy.
Is that personality or is that just because they didn't like the way Pickett operated in that offense? I don't know. I know Deontay didn't seem to like him.
No, he didn't. And he got sent to Charlotte, North Carolina as a result. Yeah, which,
I mean, they both had to leave the table.
And now a quick break.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tell you what, Eddie Spaghetti, I don't agree with him on everything, but he's got guts to come in here and concede that the Cavs were fraudulent and that my Pitt Panthers, that's what I heard at least, that Pitt deserved it and UVA didn't. Either way, good stuff on Russ and Fields, and it sounds like he and I park our cars in the same garage. What's your answer to that question, Eddie Spaghetti? Most career wins from now till the end of time, Fields, Russ, Kenny Pickett.
I think that if Russ plays well, like I think is, I'm not going to sway from my prediction that the Steelers will make the title game. That means that he's going to earn himself at least another year, if not two, of starting. I think if the Steelers win double digit games this year, which again, I am predicting 11, 12 wins, I think at the very least, that hurts Fields because he's just sitting behind him and the league, the NFL is a very, what have you done for me lately type league. That kind of lowers his chances of getting a shot. So I think because, again, my prediction, obviously age, all things considered, Fields would make a lot of sense. But I just think if you're not in front of the coaches, the GMs, you know, the front offices, you're not playing. They're like, well, this is new guys coming in from the league. We could just draft him instead, who are there a bunch of years younger and they haven't kind of been mentally broken like Fields has. So I'm going to go Russ. I think Fields would probably be next. Maybe he'll get a couple spots, starts as a backup. And I just think if Hurts is closer to what he was 2 years ago instead of last year, I think Pickett's a guy that just kind of bounces around until he.
Don't get me wrong. Barring injury there, I do not think Pickett overtakes Fields based on play. I just think that Pickett projects as one of those guys who's going to linger around and be a backup for long enough and might be one of those guys who sort of the way we've talked about Tom Brady over the years is Maurice Jones-Drew used to always say that, you know, why is Frank Gore still good this late in his career and CJ2K burned out so fast? It's because CJ2K was predicated on difference-making speed. As soon as he lost that highest gear, he fell back to the pack. Frank Gore was never based around that, so he didn't lose a gear because he never had one to lose in the first place. Sort of like Tom Brady isn't based around his physical attributes as much as he is his brain and really his eyeballs and the ability to dissect what the defense is trying to trip him up with.
I think Pickett's one of the guys. I could see him just like, oh, I see. This is what defenses do in this spot 5 years from now, being like, easy breezy. I know how to solve this and being relevant. You wait and see. Hear me now. Believe me later. It'll be a slow burn.
To answer it this way, if we just take Russ out of it and let's just say he doesn't exist and it's just Fields is the starter for the Steelers and Kenny Pickett is the starter for the Eagles this season going forward, I still think that from what I've seen from both quarterbacks and what I know that Fields could do, I think that they actually replace Kenny Pickett anyway. Like, I think Kenny Pickett would struggle severely with a great roster and he's just limited. And I think Fields still, I am of the belief that he was kind of a byproduct of a really bad surrounding coaching staff and roster. And I think the Steelers do not have that. They have a great coach and they have a great roster. And I think that Fields, even if he's not, is limited in some regard, I still think that he'll get more wins than Kenny Pickett. What I think Kenny Pickett is just a guy that really was not cut out from the NFL, unfortunately.
All right. I say, you know, where draft slot and first rounder and all that aside, if you remove that, I think, like I said, my point is he's going to be in the league and knocking around and getting spot starts. And wouldn't be surprised if you just see a team go like, we're going to roll with him for the 2027 season.
We're getting in this weird, it's happening in this draft. It's actually a perfect example, a perfect comp to what happened with Fields. Like, I think of Fields was, with Pickett. If Pickett coming out of Pitt was in a different draft class with different quarterbacks, there's probably a good chance he's not a first round pick. I think we're kind of seeing it with this draft where, like, people kind of, JJ McCarthy was not even talked about being this high of a pick until very recently. And because he's now going so much higher, even though a lot of grades for him are like maybe best case late first round, but mostly a second round pick. But now we're seeing it with like, oh, well, Bo Nix, because McCarthy's going so high, Bo Nix now has to go in the teens. And that also means that Michael Penix, who some people have even as late as like a third round pick because of his health injury issues and stuff like that, and he's a lefty. Even if I like Penix, which I do as a pure passer in the pocket, he's now getting these second round grades, maybe going in the beginning of the second round to teams going like, well, if McCarthy's going to go top four, top five, and then now Bo Nix is going in the teens, now Penix has to go probably in the 20s. So quarterbacks are just being drafted way ahead of where we actually value them because the teams are petrified of other teams coming in and swooping their guys. So
the counter to that same point is the other side of that coin is exactly what I'm talking about. I know it's extreme to the degree that it would never happen in the real world, but like I say, year seven is the big drop off the cliff for your chances of winning a Lombardi as the quarterback, because the amount of money you're going to be making if you're one of the real deal QBs out there. And I think that, you know, in a copycat league, the conversation would be different right now if Brock Purdy would have beaten Patrick Mahomes a few months ago. And for the approach that teams like that are taking and the one that the Steelers are taking now, I think that will be determined by, like, if it turns out like, okay, you can delude yourself into thinking you might compete with Brock Purdy, but as you see, the Niners window was awfully narrow because of the deficiency they had there, then people will continue to obsess over the QBs in the first round. If teams prove you can be relevant for half a decade without paying a guy $50 million a QB, then more teams are going to go in that direction. So, that'll be fun to watch. Okay, real quick before we get out of here, the Final Four is upon us. Let's give our picks real quick here, Eddie Spaghetti. Great conversation around the Final Four, both Final Fours, really, with Megan Gailey, who joined me and Sarah Tiana Extra Points this week. By the way, great episode with Kevin Hench. To start the week on -3, go back and listen to those, as well as all the great content on the Extra Points Network, Trendy and Lemon Pepper Parlay. Track them down. But to the matter at hand here, NC State Wolfpack, Purdue Boilermakers, Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? PU laying 8.5, total 146.5. I'm going pack here. It's not because I'm enamored of the DJ Burns experience, which I love, and all of that versus Edie. These are two heavy numbers for the favorites. I think the Huskies have shown. I'm not going to be so crazy as to go against even the gargantuan 11.5 that the Huskies are given the Tide in the second game. So by the process of elimination, uninspired though it may sound to you, I'm taking NC State plus the 8.5. I'll say you.
I would take that as well. I do think they'll win this game. It won't be super close. It'll be 7-8 points, but I guess it's still kind of close, but they will enough to cover. So it's a comfortable win for Purdue. And I think, you know, you guys were talking about this on Extra Points the other day with Megan Gailey, a Purdue alum, and talking about her love of Zach Edey. And I kind of am, even though DJ Burns is a fun story, there was just like this weird phenomenon. I don't know if you saw it on your Twitter feed, but like the minute Edey, who's had a monster March Madness, and good for him, all these like NBA scout guys come out of the woodwork and they're posting his like scouting reports. And they're like, yeah, Zach Edey won't be very good in the NBA. He'll be lucky to be a rotational guy. Like, I think just by positional like need, he may be drafted in the top 10 to 12. It's like, oh, this guy's having his like career moment, and he's getting just slaughtered online by these future NBA, these NBA people, you know, projecting the draft. And also, it's not like the NBA draft lately has been just chock full of talent from picks, you know, 1 to 30 or whatever. So, I felt bad for Edey during this stretch when he's playing out of his mind and has to see all that stuff online about him not being a future NBA star. So I do think.
Well, by the way, anecdotally, it's not like, first of all, I just mentioned the copycat league and how who wins the title can inform the roster moves of the rest of the league for the next half decade or so. So same is true in the NBA to a degree. And I remember saying this. I don't remember if you were there listening at the time, Spaghetti, but when the second time the Dubs and LeBron's Cavs played each other, I said, watch the Cavs win this series, because everything now is wired. The pervasive style of play by the Dubs that they have put upon the league is the Cavs are zigging against that zag. They have a chance to really bang them up front, and that's exactly what they did. And you know, I think that an Edey, I mean, it's all based around the idea like that's an outmoded the way Edey plays the positions. Like, how do you know in 4 years from now that there's not going to be, as you see these 7'5" guys who weigh 110 pounds playing, you know, Wemby and otherwise, like, how do you know that can't be marginalized by a banger down in the block? Like, somebody's gonna have to stop that if you do. It's the same sort of thing as NFL teams going so light in the box now that more physical teams are running at that and taking advantage of that. Why is there not a basketball equivalent of that?
Yeah. And I just think, you know, no matter your skill, and, you know, you're pointing this out, like, if you can't shoot from, you know, 15 feet away, I understand that you're kind of limited in what you could do offensively, but I think there's always going to be a need for a guy who's 7'4", who could rebound, who could score inside, you know, down low. You need to get some easy buckets. And it's just a weird timing for this guy who's just dominating everyone to them.
You
want to
have that
on
in your rotation. You would, sure. I mean, I don't know, I guess, but I can see a case that a relevant NBA team would want that to be a part of their rotation. In the same way, you don't use a nose tackle three downs anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody's doing that in the NFL. But there still is a role for that given the situation. So
We were just talking about Mitchell, the Knicks too. Mitchell Robinson's like another example. Like, maybe Edey's less athletic, but it's still a similar kind of player. Like, he's not going to beat you with the jump shot. He's just going to be a tall guy down in the low post. So I think Edey's fine there. So yeah, I am going to go Purdue wins, NC State covers, but barely.
And I'm going UConn. I know 11.5, but I mean, I just thought there's, and this is where you get got, but I just don't see it. I'd have to be crazy, because you would never, you know, this is one of those ones that more you watch UConn, and as Hench said at the start of the week, when they get scary is when you're watching them play and it feels like they're not playing very well and they're smoking whoever they're playing. You know, that's who UConn is. They don't need their best game to whip you. And I think that's how this one sets up. How say you?
I am going with UConn laying the points as well. Mm-hmm. I just look at their margin of victories, all the teams they've been playing so far. Dan Hurley seems like a fantastic coach. Shout out to Staten Island. He used to coach Wagner College, where my dad played football. So he's easy to root for. He's kind of a local guy from Jersey City. And I just think that this UConn team is just supremely well coached, and there's a reason why they're winning a lot of these games by 20 plus points. So I think, even though it's a big number and it's a surprisingly good Alabama team, I think one of these games the underdog will cover, one of these games they won't, and this is the game I think the favorite will win.
All right. Awesome stuff, Eddie Spaghetti. Let's go, Pens. By the time you're listening to this, in all likelihood, you will know the result if you care enough to look it up. Pens, Caps, one last go around. It's been remarkable stuff. 2006 is when they first start getting it on of Ovechkin and Crosby. Here we are, 18 years later, two relevant guys still, maybe both past their prime a little bit, but still doing special things in the NHL. Get them one more time, Pens. Get in there. If you're not paying attention to what 87's doing and you haven't been and you're listening now and you see that the Penguins beat the Capitals, it's not too late to jump on the bandwagon. Special stuff. Late stages of Kid Crosby's Hall of Fame career, one of the all-time best, not just in the NHL, but in all of North American sports. And I don't care what Eddie Spaghetti has to say about it. Now, Not one of the best athletes of the 20th or 21st century in North American history. Dave Damashek, I did recount my last minute as a high school basketball player, getting some reaction from that online, track it down on YouTube and beyond. We appreciate you doing that. And like I say, the great episode that we started the week with Hench and Extra Points and Trendy and Lemon Pepper Parlay. And we'll be back on the other side of the sports weekend to try and make some sense of it for you. By the way, we will have more from Chris Long for you next week. Look forward to that. It's going to be good stuff. And in the meantime, we appreciate you, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.